Proverbs, open your Bible in the middle. That's probably get you in the book of Psalms, and just swing to the right, and pass Psalms to the book of Proverbs. Okay. Hear now these words. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and the riddles, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true discipline, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen to when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. When you learn from them, you will crown with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them up like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who get down the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses, all the stuff we take. Come, throw your lot in with us, and we'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools take knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel, and I will share my heart with you and make you wise. I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when the disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and stress overwhelms you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by harm, by fear of harm. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So the past few weeks, we've been exploring some of the wisdom writings in the Old Testament. You may recall a few Sundays ago, we had a very kind of down-out Sunday because all the tragedies that had hit, you know, that particular Saturday before. And so I spoke on the book of Job, and the book of Job is all about, you know, what is God up to? How do we find meaning in suffering and pain? Now, and that's all that book is about, is finding God's meaning in life through suffering and pain. And then the next Sunday, we would look at Ecclesiastes. He had the opposite problem. He said, well, how do I find meaning in life when life is good? When I got all the money and everything I want, and women, houses, and mansions, and I'm still not satisfied, how do I find meaning in life? And the author of Ecclesiastes learned that even when life is great and you got all this stuff, that still not fill in that God-shaped hole in your heart. You're no better off than the man who doesn't have anything. And then last Sunday, we dove in a little deeper into Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything, there's a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. I even played part of that song about turn, turn, turn. There's a season, turn, turn, turn. I didn't play it too long because I'm afraid somebody might listen on the radio and think they're on the wrong channel, right? But the point is, though, that God has made everything beautiful in his own time. There's a time for everything. And we need wisdom, though. God, what time is it? I don't mean time like it's 9:56, but time, rather, is like, what season am I in my own life? How should I be spending the time I'm in right now? Today's wisdom write is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And so at the beginning of this, we have a little intro from the author. The author says, now these are Proverbs, King Solomon. Remember, King Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Now, again, but the asterisk next to that, he was the wisest man who ever lived, but he did go and do some dumb things. Now, like the 700 wives and 700 mother-in-laws. That was pretty dumb on his part. So even old King Solomon did not listen to his own advice and got himself in trouble. And he said, these Proverbs, they teach people wisdom and discipline. It says it teach people how to live successful lives, to do what is right, just, and fair. It says it gives insight to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the young. You know, when you're young, you need some knowledge. It's discernment. You don't have it. It doesn't come programmed with you. And so let the wise listen to these Proverbs become even wiser. And let those with understanding receive guidance. Now, that's the irony about being a wise person. A wise person actually listens to other people and get wiser. Have you noticed that? For example, when it comes to your teeth, we'll pick on our teeth example. You know, talk about that. A wise person will listen to their dentist. And what the dentist says, they'll do it. When it comes to a legal issue, a wise person will go talk to their lawyer. And if the lawyer says, don't do this, they won't do it. Right? Or they'll get sued. Or a wise person will, when it comes to electricity, will talk to an electrician. And the electrician says, don't do this, they won't do it. Wise people know instinctively they don't know it all. And therefore, they'll seek wisdom. And they'll seek wisdom from somebody who actually knows something. We live in a day and age where folks try to get wisdom off Facebook and social media, and they get themselves in a mess. Well, my friend, social media? No. Your friend doesn't know anything on social media. This blows me away this past year how many people got medical advice from folks on social media who can pass 7th grade science. That is not the way of a wise man. A wise man goes to someone who actually knows something about that subject and asks them for information and listens to it. And it says, however, though, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. Again, that's not fear as we're scared of God, but reverence. And it says, fools despise wisdom and discipline. And beginning in verse 8, we have where the dad speaks up and says, my child, you know, when we instruct you, when your mom talks to you, mom, dad's in here both, listen, okay? And say, let them crown you with grace, be a chain of honor around your neck. In other words, when your parents give you godly advice, keep it close to you. Like, for example, I got my necktie on this morning. It's close to me. In the same way, when your mom gives you good advice, keep it close to you, okay? Close to your head and to your heart. And then he gets a warning. He said, you know, my child, you might have someone come to you and say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole. Like those go in the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with the stuff we take. Come, throw your lot in with us. We'll all share the loot. What is that? All that is just a local gang. Even thousands of years ago, they had their little gangs running around, killing and stealing. And sometimes they just do stuff for the fun of it. Just for fun, let's ambush innocent. Oh, what was it? A couple years ago, you had those little hoodlums on the I-75 that was throwing bricks and rocks off the bridge, hitting cars. Why did they do that for? They got nothing out of it. They were doing it because they were messed up in their heads and they were having fun by causing pain and suffering to other people. That is what this proverb is talking about right here. He says, you won't have folks come up to you and say, why get a job milking cows? Why get a job at Michael's serving tables or Subway? You come join us and all we need is a couple pistols and some 45s and we'll go hold up something, break in somewhere and steal something. We'll do it the easy way. But my friends, when you try to get money the easy way, you usually end up doing some hard time, right? That will get you in trouble. And think how many folks, good kids, are now sitting in a jail cell somewhere, juvenile detention, all because Mr. Gangster came along, Lil Thug came along and said, I got an idea, come on with me. And then when they got caught by the cops, it didn't matter how good their GPA was or they were on the swim team and all that stuff. It didn't matter. The fact was they were caught on red-handed and they got sent off the way of the gangster. You need to get away from those. So he says, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. In other words, don't even sit at the lunch table with them. They're bad news. Yeah. And he says, no, if a bird sees a trap, he knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. And if you look at some of our greatest criminals in history, they were constantly having to deal with the fact that there was a price on their head, either from the cops or from the other gang member. These are folks, the death penalty doesn't matter to them because they already have the death penalty. If the cops see them, they get shot. If their rival gangster down the street sees them, they get shot. What kind of life is that? You couldn't pay me enough money to live a life where I thought I was going to get shot any second. Well, we heard from the author, we heard from the father, and then we heard from the gangster. Well, now we hear from Wisdom. And Wisdom is shouting in the streets. She cries in the public squares. And she calls to the crowds in the main street, to those gathered in the city gate. And when I was reading that, it reminded me of the scene of the movie, and I know this is the old movie, black and white. I know some of you probably seen it. A black and white movie called Invasion of the Body Snatchers, back from the 1950s. Yeah, some of you know, hey, you've seen that movie. But that last scene reminded me of that, where the hero is running down the highway, pounding cars and windshields and trying to warn folks, danger is coming, and folks think he's crazy and keep driving by. And that's how Wisdom is. Wisdom is shouting at folks, trying to shake them, like, wake up. And she talks about three different groups. She talks about the simpletons, the fools, and the mockers. Okay. Simpletons, fools, and mockers. Now, I want to pick on the simpletons first because we've all been there at some point in our life. Simpleton just means you're just naive. We've all been naive. Okay. That's why when you're a kid and preteen, teenager, young adult, you need your parents and grandparents and teachers to give you godly advice because you don't know what you're doing. I know that's not very popular with the high school crowd, but you need that advice. They say, mom says, do not be running around that dude. Why not? Oh, honey, I've seen his type before. He's bad news. Stay away from him. Or, do not be around that girl. She is bad. It's, why not? She's pretty. It doesn't matter how pretty she is. Pretty skin, deep, ugly, is to the bone. Stay away from her. She'll get you in trouble. I think about how many 18-year-olds will go off and sign off for a student loan for thousands of dollars for an English degree or a history degree. And just like, what's the big deal? And we look at them thinking, honey, you got to pay that back. Look at that interest rate. But they're naive. It's not their fault. They just don't have any life experience in that department. Or, God help us, they get a credit card that has that 25% interest rate on it, right? What does that little number mean? It means this guy pay how much going to pay back plus extra, okay? No, you're naive about that. And we've all been there. We've done that. No. And the sad part is, no, we can be naive in different areas of life. When you get your first job, a new job, you're the new guy. You're kind of naive because you don't know what you're doing. You can't help that, And you need to listen to your coworkers and get a feel of what's going on. I remember one time, back in my Baptist days, the pastor was talking about how he started a new job in Cleveland with a utility company. And they had a situation where they had to get into this ditch to fix something. And it was full of water. And so they got there and they said, all right, get in there. And he said, now he told this from the pulpit, and then I thought, oh my goodness. He said, what I got to get in there for? I'm the new guy. And I thought, honey, that's why you're getting in there, because you are the new guy. When you're the new guy, you got to do the dirty work, you know. But he was naive. He thought being the new guy means I'll stay up here and watch. No, you jump in there and you do that. That's part of being the new guy on the job, right? When you're a new guy on the job, you get the dirty chores because you just got here. You got to earn your stripes, you know. But he was naive about that. You know, you got a lot of folks right now selling their house right now, you know, or buying a house, you know. You know, you really need somebody who knows what they're doing that. That is a major investment. That is not the time for a naive person who doesn't know what they're doing to sell a house. That's your largest investment. I remember reading a biography about one of my favorite actors, John Wayne. And he was on to director John Ford about how he's going to direct a movie called The Alamo, his first movie. And John Ford said, don't do that. He said, why? He said, you don't have any directing experience, and an epic movie is not the time to learn how to make and direct a movie. He says, don't do that, you know. And I think John Ford also thinking, you need to hire me, director a movie for you, okay? You know, we can be naive in different areas of life. The point is, though, we need godly wisdom, and we need to be humble enough to say, this is something I don't know what I'm doing. I need some help in, okay? Well, that's a naive person. Now, what about the fool? Now, the fool is interesting because he actually isn't naive. He knows better. And you can talk to the fool, and the fool will shake his head and agree with everything you say. Yep, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Yep, you're right. Yeah, I know. You're right. I know. But I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Well, it'll be all right. No, it won't be all right. The fool is someone who knows this is a bad idea, but he thinks he's the exception to the rule. It won't happen to him. No. Yeah, I know I shouldn't borrow a bunch of million on credit cards, but it'll be all right. No, I get in trouble, I can go to the bank and get a loan against my house. It'll be all right. I'll borrow some of my parents. It'll be all right. I know I shouldn't do that. It'll be all right. Yeah, I know I shouldn't be driving that fast on the highway while texting, but it'll be all right. I think I hit a cover there for somebody. It'll be all right. You know, I can do it, man. I multitask all the time, man. Just, I can do it. You know, the fool, they'll agree with everything you say. I remember one time it wasn't Central, but another school I worked at, about a hiring decision. And they had pretty much said, we're going to hire this person, you know, without advertising the job. And I said, before you do this, I said, at least advertise in the newspaper, get some applications, interview some folks. And then if that's the best person, go ahead and hire them. And you can tell these parents it was the best fit for our school. I said, but if you just hire this person out of the blue, I said, it will not go well. Folks will think you just were playing favorites. And the person on the other end was going, you're right. The CEO of the school there. And then what happened? He turned around and did right the opposite. He no interviews. He just hired that person. And then a year later, all these issues were coming up. And I thought, we could have avoided this a long time ago. You know. And the problem with fools is that not only do they bring harm to themselves, they bring harm to others. When you have a fool in charge of a family, it harms the family. When you have a fool in charge of a schoolhouse, it harms the teachers and the students. When you got a fool in charge of soldiers, you got folks coming back in body bags. Foolish people who refuse to listen to wisdom, who do their own little thing, not only do they harm themselves, they bring harm to others. And their attitude is, well, man, they made the choice of being here, you know. Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but you need to quit being a fool and bring harm to other folks. And the sad part is, scripture says, the only way a fool can learn is by blows on the back. That's the ancient Hebrew way of saying they gotta learn the hard way. That is, they gotta go bankrupt. They gotta crash that car. They gotta end up in the hospital. You know, is this terrible consequence? And you look at it on the outside like, oh my goodness, I saw this coming. And you warn them about it, and they're like, I'll take care, it won't be a big deal, and then it happens. But guys, that's how some folks are. And it's sad. But being a fool does not lead to good things. Bad things happen to you. You know, and I remember one time I was speaking to a lady who, and I noticed another. I said, what's this about? And she said, well, I'll tell you, Mr. Womack. And she shared that she was having these bill collectors. She got in debts, various debts. And these bill collectors had been calling her. I said, okay. And so she said, so I got these lawyers to take care of it for me. And I said, well, how are they taking care of it for you? And she said, they get all my mail now from the bill collectors. I said, have you made any payments? No. I said, oh, honey, that's not good. And she said, oh, but the lawyers are going to take care of it. I said, no, they're not going to take care of it. And I said, all the lawyers doing right now are getting paid. I said, but your bills are not getting paid. I said, sooner or later, they'll quit writing letters and there'll be a court date and you'll have to go for the judge and explain why you haven't paid these bills. She said, well, the lawyers, I said, they're not taking care of you. I said, you're spending money on these lawyers that you should be giving to these folks you owe money to kind of keep them at bay. And guess what happened a few months later? I said, Mr. Wong, it was embarrassing. I said, I had to go to the courthouse in Madisonville. And I felt like everybody I knew in the world was in that courthouse that day for some reason in the audience. And it's back before COVID. And the judge went through and read off how much I owe all these different people and put me on the payment plan to pay them. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you know. And I said, that's embarrassing, but at least you're not getting foreclosed on, bankrupt, anything. You know, you got a way out. But I thought, but honey, I told you they would take you to court over this. And she said, you know, and one of the court clerks asked me, why did you pay these lawyers for these letters when you could be paying the bills? And I thought, well, Dr. Tim said the same thing, right? But you didn't listen to him. You know, so we don't want to be the fool where we just ignore advice. And then we got the mockers. The mocker is kind of like a fool with attitude. The mocker says, and who do you think you are? Tell me what to do. I can't drink when I'm 18. What do you know about it? You're just a stupid adult. What? Who do you think you are? I know better, no. And then they insult you and call you names and everything else. And they can't put that little hands together and arms up like this and this attitude like, I don't know who you think you're talking to, no, but I'm all this and that. You know, and they make it personal. They insult you, and they scoff at you, and they mock at you, and say, you're just trying to cram your beliefs down my throat, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? You can't help them either, okay? They got to crash and burn. Now, they're the type of folks that they're not going to be here this morning, obviously, because they don't go to church, but if they were here and hearing me on the way home, they would talk to their loved ones for the ride here back home, saying, I don't know who that guy was up there saying all that stuff about the Bible. No, I know better. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And just, that's what they do. They're scoffers and mockers, you know. And they don't just don't say, I disagree with you. They go after you personally. They attack you and insult you. You know, we've seen that this past year on Facebook, right? How many folks have chimed in and said, look at all these sheeple, right? Two thoughts. One, is it strange that Christians should be using the word sheep as an insult since the Lord is our shepherd? And secondly, it is kind of strange that Christians are insulting folks on Facebook anyway. Insults and Christianity should not go hand in hand, should it? But that's what mockers do and scoffers. They just don't disagree with you like the fool. They just insult you and tear you down. And I remember, again, at this same school I was referring to earlier, there was a meeting, and it wasn't that same person. It was actually that person's wife. And there's a millionaire living there, and she just blessed us out and let us have it. You know, and she just went on, and she let me know, said, and these certified teachers aren't all that, you know, and I thought, you know, talking about me, obviously, and she just, and thing was, she just went on. I just had this sense of calm and peace about me, and I just kind of looked at her and let her say everything, and, you know, and went on my merry little way, you know, and the sad part was, afterwards, I spoke to another teacher, and I said, I just want to give you a heads up. I said, no, don't make any comment about you having a teaching degree. And I said, because that's not well looked upon around here. And she said, I already know, Ms. Womack. I said, how do you know? She said, remember, I'm in the room next door to that office. I heard everything that was said. I said, and I was just horrified with all they said to you, you know. And I went home that night and told my husband, I don't know if I have a job at that school anymore because I'm afraid they might fire me. And I said, well, they're not mad at you, okay? And I said, they're mad at me about something I didn't even do, but they're mad at me, you know. No, but that's how the mocker is. They attack you personally. But listen to this. Wisdom says, I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reach out to you, and you pay no attention. You ignore my advice. Rejected the correction I offered. In other words, kind of got ghosted here. We ghosted, Wisdom was calling, and we ghosted Wisdom. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. Now think about that. That's pretty serious. Wisdom says, when you get in trouble, I'll be laughing at you. I don't even do that to my own enemies. I might chuckle, but I won't laugh at them, you know. Wisdom says, well, we'll see about that. And then some of the saddest verses in the Bible. Verse 28, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. You know, in Jeremiah talks about those who seek the Lord, when you seek me, you shall find me, when you seek me with your whole heart. Wisdom says, to the mocker, the fool, the naive, when you cry for help, I'm not answering. And though you anxiously search for me, you're not going to find me. It's that weird dynamic of Wisdom was calling you, and your time you look at your phone like, well, that's Wisdom, I'm not going to answer it. Decline, 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 you know. I might even block their number, you know. But then the day comes, like, I need Wisdom, I need to call Wisdom. Wisdom looks over and sees your number and says, I can't help you. Okay. What that means is, guys, that when you go through life rejecting Wisdom, you get to the point, though, like, I need Wisdom right here, right now. And you don't know what to do because, y'all, you can't run a marathon when you've been out of shape, can you? And you can't make wise decisions when you made a bunch of dumb decisions for years and years and years. I remember an incident years ago, the guy I knew, and you know, his mom was telling this about how he was getting ready to get married. They were in the church, in the foyer, you know, in the back room there. And he turns to his mom and says, I know I'm not supposed to marry this girl, but I don't know what to do. And mom said, well, I know what to do. Right? Mom had wisdom. She knew the answer. Like, we need to call this thing off right here, right now. This guy out here. Don't worry about the money and all that. We'll pay the money. Let's be done with this. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't get embarrassed. She's like, it doesn't matter. We need to call this off. He knew he needed wisdom, but wisdom did not come to him. So guess what he ended up doing? He went walking down that aisle, got married, because it'd be too much trouble to embarrass himself. And guess what happened a few months later? He found himself in divorce court. No, and you look at folks like, how did you get, how? But they cry for help, I will not answer. You can't live a lifetime of rejecting wisdom and then expect wisdom to come riding into you. It's a skill you have to practice. No, he known for a long time, he don't date this girl, she's bad news, and he kept rejecting it. And then he got time the big day. He's like, oh, I'm about to marry this person. This is getting serious. Did you think? Do you think it got serious when you dated her a month, two, three? Did you think it didn't get serious when we went down to the pawn shop and bought that ring on payments? Any pro, sir? When you planned the wedding? I thought, now it's getting serious? It's been serious a long time ago. You passed that station a long time ago. But wisdom did not come. And so why does that happen? For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. And it ends these verses. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. And so it actually ends on a positive note. Now, guys, we don't have to be naive. Now, if you're in a situation that's new to you, don't hesitate to ask your parents for help, grandparents, your coworker, aunt, uncle, a teacher. I mean, like, hey, I'm in over my head. I need some wisdom about this. You know, what would you do? You know, ask someone you respect who's got some success in life. You know, I remember a kid, there were some folks I considered to be like my grandparents, or even my grandparents. They were just older folks who were always thoughtful and nice, and I respected their wisdom. They were usually folks who had served in the military and been married, had kids, and were successful in their jobs and church. I respected those folks. Those are good folks to ask wisdom from. So if you're young, new in the job, and a new area of life, you know, you're a new mom, new dad, you know, don't hesitate to say, hey, this is new to me. I need some wisdom. What do you suggest? You know, and ask folks whom you respect. Okay. If you're a fool, I don't know how else to put this, but quit fooling around, right? And sitting on your head like, yeah, I know, and do something totally different. Quit saying that and actually follow the advice. You know what the rules are. Just do it. Okay? That may require some repentance and need some humble pie. It may require you picking the phone call and say, I need to apologize. I've been acting like a fool too long. But you know what? It's better to wake up one morning and say, I've been a fool and change your ways, and then just go through life keep acting like a fool. You can always make a U-turn. And then for someone who's a mocker or a scoffer, you know, I can say, this man, just hush up and be quiet and listen. You don't have to agree with folks, but this little attitude of I want to tear somebody down and beat them down and insult them and all that to make you feel big, it doesn't work. And if you want to do this thing, that's fine with me. But there's no need to be mean-spirited about it. And if I were you, I'd pay attention to your friend the fool there, because he's just a nicer version than you, and he's in the same boat. But what we want to be is not the fool, the mocker, the scoffer. We want to be the wise. Where does wisdom come from? The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. We need to have an attitude of the Lord. You know all. You're the only person we can actually say, he's a know-it-all. You know it all. I need your wisdom. Give me wisdom, God. Give me a heart of wisdom. And Lord, point to me, to the people in my lives, maybe the book, maybe a TV show, maybe a radio program. Or there's someone who's speaking wisdom to me. No, they're out there. No. And Lord, in the society with all these voices winning my attention, guide me by your Holy Spirit to the voices of wisdom, the voices of truth, and help me to make wise decisions. And if you will pray that prayer, God will answer it. And then when you get in these situations in life where you need some wisdom, I don't know what to do, guess what? Wisdom will come to you. Why? Because you have made it a practice in your life to seek wisdom. You've been doing it. And in that moment, we're like, no, should I marry this person? Should I buy this house? Should I take this job? You won't be doing this chicken little stuff. Wisdom will come and give you guidance to help you make a wise decision. That's a promise of God. We were talking about how in James a few weeks ago, you know, about how wisdom, have not because you ask not. If you will make a practice in your life to ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. Why? Because he loves you. But if you persist in being a simpleton, a fool, a scoffer, wisdom will not come. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Thanks be to God. Amen.